Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, April 21st, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adelier Jr., and joining me is Imran, the Don Corneo Khan.
Oh no, that's bad.
I mean, but it rolls off the tongue though, and so I had to say it.
It rolls off the tongue is probably an appropriate and inappropriate metaphor at the same time.
But yeah.
You don't
like the Don Corneo reference?
I think
you're big into Final Fantasy VII, so I figure at least like, you know, to be on brand. I know Don Corneo isn't the best dude.
Yeah, the rapist pimp.
In a lot of ways, a bad dude.
Yes. In some ways, people would consider Don Corneo a bad guy.
But like, he had some good ideas. You know? Running Walmart seem to be up and thriving.
Mussolini's fine. He keeps their trains running on time.
Listen. He's a Don. That's what it comes down to. Imran, how are you doing?
I was doing great. Now I feel kind of icky, but otherwise I'm
sorry.
Good.
I apologize. I'm just going to shorten it back to the Don now.
All right. Let's go with that.
How's your day going? How's your morning going?
It's going okay. Woke up to the Animal Crossing news. Excited to come talk about it.
Excited, man.
I'm excited that video game news is happening again. Because while it was over.
No, legit. Like for the last few weeks, it's been like everything has been coronavirus related in a way where I'm like, oh man, this is kind of depressing. I'm kind of not enjoying reporting on a lot of news because everything is very dire. Today is not that day because today's stories include Animal Crossing over into the mainstream, Mario Maker making moves, and more. Because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad free along with the exclusive daily post show. Now it's time for some housekeeping. Thursday night at 7 p.m. Pacific time, we're having the social event of the season, Grimecraft's Kind of Funny Animal Crossing Rave. That's right. Grimecraft will be DJing a set in Animal Crossing for the Kind of Funny Best Friends. You can watch live and catch Greg interviewing Grimey after the show on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. But even better, you can come to the concert in Animal Crossing. Keep an eye out on Kind of Funny's Twitter account Thursday afternoon, and you can find out how to visit Grimecraft's Island and get the exclusive in-game t-shirt. Just like going to a real concert, you can get the exclusive t-shirt from Grimey's concert. So stay tuned for that. That's happening Thursday. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed, Momo, Al Tribesman, and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Brooklinen and ExpressVPN, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A Baker's Dozen!
And don't let the six confuse you. Don't let the six make you think that like, oh, it's a regular news day. That's like an average number. Nah, man, today's news is jam-packed because number one, we're talking about the March 2020 MPD, which is out. And let me tell you, video games are selling like hotcakes. What I've done is I've divided up MPD, this story number one, into two parts. This part A and part B, because there's a lot to dig in here. And so starting with part A, let's talk about general sales. This is from, again, Jeff Grubb at VentureBeat. He writes, March wasn't a great month for anyone, but it was a slightly less awful month for people who sell video games. That's especially true if the video game is Animal Crossing New Horizons. With people in the United States isolating themselves for much of the month, many people obviously turned to stay-at-home entertainment. As a result, consumers in the U.S. spent $1.597 billion on gaming hardware, new full games, and accessories, plus game cards, according to the March 2020 MPD report. This is the most money the industry has generated in MPD's reporting since the $1.8 billion in 2008. Here are the full numbers. And so they have a chart here on the website, and I'm just going to sum it up like this, right? Total video game sales are up in March 20, $1.597 says million. In the original, it originally said billion. And so it might, I'm going to say 1.5.
1,000 million is what it's getting. Like,
gotcha.
They're basically millions.
Which is a billion.
It's effectively 1.5 billion.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're up 35% over last year, which was $1.186 billion. As far as video game hardware, we're up 63%. Video game software, we're up 34%. And then video game accessories and game cards were up 12% year over year. Quote, March 2020 tracked spending across video game hardware, software, and accessories and game cards totaled $1.6 billion, gaining 35% when compared to a year ago, said MPD analyst Matt Piscatella. Quote, year-to-date, 2020 tracked spending across video game hardware, software, and accessories and game cards totaled $3 billion, declining 4% when compared to a year ago. This is a massive turnaround for an industry that was circling the end of the generation drain for most of the last year. Through the first 2 months of 2020, sales in the U.S. had declined 28% compared to the same period in 2019. So, what closed the gap? Animal Crossing and a plethora of high-profile new releases. And yes, COVID-19-related social distancing likely gets some credit as well. That drove people to pick up new hardware. The Switch set an all-time record for unit sales for any March month since MPD began tracking. But PS4 and Xbox One dollar sales also jumped up 25% year over year. These charts are sorted by dollar sales, not units sold. I'm starting at number 10. So these are the top 10 selling games, right? This is by sales, not units. At number 10, we have Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. At number 9, we have Borderlands 3. At number 8, we have Grand Theft Auto 5. At number 7, we have Persona 5 Royal. At number 6, we have Doom Eternal. At number 5, we have NBA 2K20. At number 4, we have Resident Evil 3. At number 2, we have MLB The Show 20. At number 2, we have Call of Duty Modern Warfare. And at number 1, we have Animal Crossing New Horizons. And remember, Animal Crossing, that's the Nintendo, that doesn't include digital sales. And neither does Doom Eternal or Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which are also on the list. Imran, let's stop there. There's more to go through, but let's take a break there and talk about what we've just read here. Does any of that surprise you or shock you at all?
Nothing shocking here. Like, I'm surprised a little that Persona 5 Royal has done so well. But granted, it is like one of the bigger releases of the month, so that does make some sense. But I mean, that was a very niche RPG, and this is a second release of it, so it doing so well is blasting a lot of traditional knowledge out of the water. Obviously, Animal Crossing being as big as it is not surprising. Animal Crossing being big is not surprising. Animal Crossing being as big as it is hugely surprising, because it destroyed a lot of records here.
Yeah, like Animal Crossing being number one doesn't surprise me. Animal Crossing being, and we'll get into Animal Crossing more in a second, but Animal Crossing being a smash hit, being a super success in the way that it is not shocking, but like still like it reading through the article made me kind of sit back and go like, oh dang, like Animal Crossing really is at like what you're seeing on Twitter isn't just Twitter, right? It isn't just like word of mouth. Like Animal Crossing is doing as well as it seems like it is doing. I think that is the shocker here. But video games selling, you know, great this month. Doesn't necessarily, I don't think, surprises anyone, because one, you had a lot of big releases, right? We have Doom Eternal, we have Animal Crossing, we have Persona 5 Royal, but then also, with everybody staying at home, that looks like it is then also driving up sales in a way. So
I mean, like that, the MLB placing is probably exactly why MLB said, or they said to Sony, probably, we don't know for sure what the reasoning was, but it was like the license holder went to Sony, like, you got to make this multi-platform, otherwise we're taking it home. So looking at that, like, it outsold a lot of stuff on that list in a month with very high sales.
Yeah.
So they're probably going to do even better next year because it's going to be multi-platform.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? Like, you imagine for PlayStation, right, owning that IP or having that deal, you want to still be the ones who are making money off of it, even if you are forced to have it go multi-platform, right? You don't want to give that back, because look at how well this game is doing as a moneymaker.
Also,
so that definitely makes sense.
So like MLB and NBA 2K20, they were always going to do well. I assume they're going to have more legs than traditional sports games have, because there's like people want sports in some form, and they're very grudgingly going to video games for it.
Yes, exactly. Let's get into the second half of this story, number one, which let's talk about Animal Crossing. So Jeff continues to write, Animal Crossing New Horizons is a smash hit. Does it seem like everyone in your life is talking about Animal Crossing constantly? Well, it seems that way because everyone in your life is playing it. Quote, Animal Crossing New Horizons was the best-selling game of March 2020 and the second best-selling game of 2020 year to date, said Matt Piscatella. He continues, Animal Crossing New Horizons achieved the third highest launch month physical dollar sales, physical dollar and unit sales of any Nintendo published game in tracking history. Among Nintendo published games, only Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, which came out in December 2018, and Super Smash Bros. Brawl, which came out in March 2008, debuted with higher physical software sales in a launch month, end quote. I'm going to repeat that for everyone in the back. Animal Crossing New Horizons had a better launch month than any Mario or Zelda game since MPD started tracking. It is now obvious that this series stands among Nintendo's most important, and the glow-up is happening right before our eyes. Here's another astonishing tidbit from the MPD group. Quote, launch month dollar sales of Animal Crossing New Horizons have exceeded the lifetime sales of all other Animal Crossing franchise games, making Animal Crossing New Horizons the best-selling game in the franchise history, said Piscatella.
So that number is a little bit misleading. Like, it absolutely did set, like, break those records. It is better selling than any other Animal Crossing, but they're going by dollar sales of the previous games. Every previous game before this was a lot cheaper.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense.
So, like, Wild World, for example, would be $30. New Leaf would have been $40. Maybe the most expensive would have been, what was it, City Folk?
The Wii one?
Yeah,
City Folk.
But that was also like, $50.
I imagine
do that well.
Yeah, and I was going to say the GameCube game, but the GameCube game was also cheaper, right? Because the GameCube game would have been like...
It was a budget title, so I believe it was $40.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that does not take away from New Horizons. It did do extraordinarily well. But if you look at it in dollar sales, there is more to that number than it looks like.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, Animal Crossing New Horizons is going to be the best-selling games, whether in copies sold or sales because of the Switch, because it's the Animal Crossing game that's coming out for the console that is, you know, doing the best for Nintendo right now. Mm-hmm. And it's a good quality Animal Crossing game if you ask most folks. And so it makes sense that it's doing the best out of any other Animal Crossing game in the franchise. Frank Furter writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, good morning, Blessing and Imran. MPD, MPD, MPD. That's right. We got MPD numbers today. And to no surprise, Animal Crossing reigns supreme as the top-selling game of the month. But there are a couple of things I want to focus on. First, and this is a small surprise, but RE3 came in fourth behind MLB The Show and Call of Duty. Granted, MLB is the new entry and Call of Duty is a staple on the list. I'm still somewhat surprised RE3 didn't take a better spot after all the love and hype that was given to RE2.
Because it came out April 2nd. Like, yeah, it had like 2 days of tracking. It's probably not going to do super it probably did fine. It just was not tracked that much.
Yeah. And then second, consumers spent nearly $1.6 billion on new games, hardware, and accessories/game cards. That is a butt ton of money for March for this industry, and I'm curious what a full month indoors will have on next month's numbers. Third, I was going to ask, what in the world are game cards? And then I realized, oh, they're GPUs. Why does MPD categorize them as such instead of components? Last question I'll ask is this, and sorry if this is on the list of news, but with Final Fantasy VII Remake selling/shipping 3.5 million copies in the first 3 days, do you think that Animal Crossing will stay on top in April, or will it be dethroned? Thanks for all you do, Frank Furter. And so, yeah, to rewind it back, RE3 didn't have as many days to stack up those sales and get on the list in that way. But even so, Animal Crossing would have came in number one either way, I imagine.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about like Call of Duty and MLB The Show, I think those games are still gonna rise to the top of that list, no matter what.
Right. I also believe there were Modern Warfare sales during the month, and also I forget how it related. Like, if you bought the game, you got what was it? It had something to do with Warzone, but I don't remember exactly what it was. But there was some benefit to owning Call of Duty and then downloading Warzone, right?
I know if you had Modern Warfare, Call of Duty Modern Warfare that came out last year, you got Warzone like a few hours earlier. And then you also don't have, you like, it's not necessarily an entirely separate like launcher or download or something like that.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of, but like basically I expect Call of Duty Modern Warfare sales went up this month for various reasons. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm not shocked it's at number two.
Yeah, I'm sure quite a few people played Warzone and they were like, oh, you know what, man, I just want to play like regular Call of Duty now that I'm already here, and picked it up because of that. Like, it's been a bit. And there's also Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 that came out, right?
Yes,
because I know the people were talking about that.
It was a PS4 exclusive this month, but yeah, I don't think there's any physical copies being printed for that quite yet.
Yeah, but I imagine that like there's been a lot of talk around Call of Duty this month that I can imagine sales being up because of word of mouth and because of Warzone and all this different stuff happening.
Yeah.
To the question about game cards, Imran, do you know anything about, you know, why MPD would not just lump that into like accessories or something like that?
I have no idea. I actually always thought game cards meant like the physical like cards, like. They're like, this is a Days Gone code. Here, just buy this.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know for sure. It's either way. Frankenfurter might be right. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not too sure either. My assumption was like GPUs or something like that, like something having to do with PCs, which might not necessarily fit within the conversation of, I think when you think of accessories and stuff, you're thinking of controllers and peripherals. You're not necessarily thinking of like PC, like, GPUs, but I'm not really in the PC ecosystem like that, and so I don't know for sure how that would have gotten counted.
His logic makes sense, because like what I was talking about would have been under video game software, so
yeah, I
have no idea why they put it the way they did.
And then the last question again is about Final Fantasy VII Remake selling / shipping 3.5 million units, which happens to be story number two, which I'll get to right now. Story number two, Final Fantasy VII Remake moves 3.5 million copies in 3 days, making it one of PS4's fastest selling exclusives. I'm pulling the story from Robert Ramsey at Push Square, and we'll read the story and then come back to Frankfurter's question to answer it. All things considered, Final Fantasy VII Remake is off to a blistering start in terms of worldwide sales. Square Enix reports that the game has moved 3.5 million copies in just 3 days after its launch on the 10th of April. That figure includes physical shipments and digital sales. It's an impressive total, especially so when you consider the current state of the world. For reference, Final Fantasy XV moved around 5 million units in that same amount of time, but it didn't have to deal with stock shortages or closed shops, and it wasn't a PS4 exclusive. Speaking of PS4 exclusives, God of War moved around 3.1 million copies at launch, while Marvel Spider-Man, the fastest selling PS4 exclusive ever, managed 3.3 million. However, those figures are based on sold through numbers, not shipments, so we can't say for sure whether Remake is actually the PS4's new sales champion. Imran, what's your reaction to the Final Fantasy VII Remake sales numbers?
I'm not shocked. They had a massive marketing campaign. Like, it is coming out at a time that people really want to play video games. They really want a single player narrative video game that is very hyped. And that's exactly what Final Fantasy VII is.
Yep.
I don't think the Final Fantasy XV comparison works out that well, because like, again, that does make it clear that it was not a PS5 or PS4 exclusive. Mm-hmm. And I also think Square's numbers were a little circumspect at the time. Like, they were talking simply shipped and not so much like
sold through.
Yeah, when I saw those numbers years ago when they first released them, I was like, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I don't remember exactly the issues I had with them, but I don't think a one-to-one comparison works nearly as well as we think. That said, yeah, Final Fantasy VII Remake is probably going to do very well. Launch month is a very difficult thing to think about with these, because they're probably going to do well in the long term because of the issues people are having right now in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've joked before, Final Fantasy VII might be the last big game to come out this year. It's entirely possible. Yeah. That means it's going to do well over the next couple of months. Resident Evil as well. Other games like that as well. So I think this is a very good start for that game. I think the more telling thing is going to be how it does over the next couple of months, because I expect it's going to probably double to triple that number before the end of 2020.
Yeah, like these numbers don't surprise me because of how big Final Fantasy VII is just as a game. Like, the original Final Fantasy VII, you know, sold like hotcakes. I want to say it got to around like 10, 11 million sales total. Mm-hmm. And so Final Fantasy VII Remake coming out and their initial numbers being right 3.5 million copies, and that is digital sales and physical shipments. This month being the way it is, I imagine there are a lot more digital sales than you would have had otherwise, right? Like, mm-hmm. Right now, that game is selling digitally, probably more so than physical shipments at this point. And so when everything's said and done, I wouldn't be surprised if they actually surpass like God of War in terms of sales, right? In terms of the first 3 days. But I'm curious if we actually see those numbers come to fruition, like in terms of like if those numbers get reported on in the same way.
Every publisher has a built-in excuse now when they go to their investor conference of like, it can't be helped. We have a thing going on. We're doing the best we can under the circumstances. And the best they can under the circumstances is still pretty good.
Like, it's still pretty excellent.
Yeah. We'll see how that works out. Like, honestly, FF7 selling so well is probably a big relief for Square Enix, because if they have to delay Avengers again, which is kind of likely, I don't know for sure, like, we don't know what the future is going to be. If they have to delay that game again, then they have at least a buffer that this game has sold so well.
Yeah. So let's take it back to Frankfurter's question about Final Fantasy VII sales in relation to Animal Crossing, talking about next month's MPD. Do you imagine, like, I would venture to say that Final Fantasy VII Remake takes number one, like, easily.
April was going to be a big question, because, like, we don't know how it's going to look in terms of physical sales. And Nintendo does not report digital sales to the NPD. So let's assume that, like, people still trying to go outside and buy or order from retail sites or whatever physical copies of Animal Crossing. I don't think we can expect it to keep up with the traditional number of, like, 20% digital and 80% physical. I assume it's going to be 50-50, and that's, on a, as far as NPD metrics go, probably going to make or shave the numbers down quite a bit. In terms of what we'll probably find out, it'll be end of next quarter, which would be July, end of July. So in August, we would find out which games actually sold better. But in terms of NPD, I think Final Fantasy VII probably takes the top next month. Who knows? Yeah. Like, we don't know for sure. Animal Crossing could still be huge.
If Animal Crossing ends up at number one next month, that means something huge for Animal Crossing. Of course, like, we're in weird times, so there are, like, a lot of factors at play.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, even a number, even like Animal Crossing, I expect to be probably, like, still in the top five for sure. Number two is where I would be like, okay, Animal Crossing is a force. Animal Crossing is and it, like, to be fair, it is a force. Like, right now, it is a force, and I think it could continue to be to be a force within the next few months, because of word of mouth and what Animal Crossing is, and because, like, people are gonna probably come back to the same games, given that you're having big releases being delayed and all this stuff happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, like, I expect FF7R. I don't know why I shortened it like that. Final Fantasy VII Remake at number one, and then we'll see. Animal Crossing probably, maybe at number two. But that'll be something if that's the case.
I'm curious if all this ends up pushing GTA 5 out of the top 20 for the first time in, I want to say, 6 years, 5 years,
like, probably since its launch, right? That'd be like 7 years.
Since its launch on next gen systems, I think it missed a week before that. But yeah, if you can't buy that game physically, are people buying it digitally? That's a going to be an interesting question to see if, like, it's still made. Honestly, at this point, it's kind of like I'm just fascinated by it to see what effects it could possibly have, because we have no idea what April's going to look like. We can all make good guesses, but honestly, we've never had a situation like this in terms of retail, so it is massively upending what traditional knowledge would be.
Well, I've always imagined for the Grand Theft Auto thing, right? Like, a lot of the numbers that are counted in sales. Are those not, like, shark cards and, like, microtransactions?
We're talking about
dollar sales.
They are game copies that include shark cards, which is where some people think that why GTA sells so well, because it is sometimes cheaper to just buy a new copy of GTA with shark cards than it is to buy new shark cards.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
like, if they start bundling those digitally, I assume they do on PC. I don't know about console sales. Then that might make a bigger difference, but we'll see. Who knows? Like, maybe GTA is just that big a force that it does not matter.
We'll see. Story number two. Or no, we just did story number two. Story number three. Story number one and two were all kind of one, because they all had to do with sales. Story number three. Super Mario Maker 2 gets a Super Mario Maker. Or hold on. Let me say that again. Super Mario Maker 2 gets a Super Mario Makeover. I screwed myself with the headline because I tried to be clever. This comes from Nintendo. Yeah, this comes from a Nintendo press release. They write, "The Super Mario Maker 2 game allows players to unleash their creativity with more new options and the ability to create their own world map." On April 22nd, the free final update to Super Mario Maker 2 for the Nintendo Switch system adds a new World Maker mode, as well as a host of new content and features. In World Maker mode, multiple courses created by a user can be tied together on a path from the starting point on a world map to the end castle. The look of the world map can also be customized. Up to 8 worlds containing a total of up to 40 courses can be combined, creating a mini Super Mario game that can be shared with others. In addition to World Maker, guess who else is making an appearance in Super Mario Maker 2? The Koopalings. All 7 of these troublemakers, each with his or her own movement pattern, can be added to user-created courses. Other enemies added to the game include the key-chasing Fanto and the wind-up Mecha Koopas. Additional power-ups and course parts are also coming to Super Mario Maker 2 as part of the free update. This includes the Super Mario Bros. 2 Mushroom, which transforms Mario and his friends into their look from the Super Mario Bros. 2 game and allows them to pick up and throw items and enemies, just like that classic game. With the frog suit from Super Mario Bros. 3, Mario can swim through water with ease and even run across its surfaces. Other power-ups added to the game are the Power Balloon, first introduced in the Super Mario World game, and the Super Acorn from New Super Mario Bros. U, and the Boomerang Flower from Super Mario 3D World. There are also 5 variations for wearables, like Cannon Box and Propeller Box from the Super Mario 3D World game. All this and more can be experienced by downloading the free update on April 22nd. Imran, you dropped this in the Kind of Funny Slack, and as soon as I saw it, I was like, what the fuck, man? This is what I've wanted from this game since they announced Mario Maker 2, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted them to add a world map specifically. Also, Mario Bros. 2, I wanted that style. Not necessarily as a power-up, but I'll take what I can get.
Right.
But a world map is a fantastic addition. Why it's coming a year later, I don't know, but I'll take it, I guess.
It is really confusing. How I feel about it. It is, yeah. Like, honestly, this is a very big, it's a dramatic update. It's a great update. Like, holy shit.
It's an amazing update.
I want to get back into Mario Maker after seeing this. It baffles me that it's all coming at once. And essentially, it's a final update. Why was, like, they could have released those box hats, those things from Mario 3D World, one at a time in January, like, week by week. People would have been losing their minds.
Yeah.
It's so weird to me they're doing this now. Like, yeah,
The world map to me is the thing that boggles my mind. The fact that that should have been a launch for sure. The fact that they kind of drop it out of nowhere with all this awesome, like, cool new stuff, and it's all free, which is amazing. But like, bundle it as like the final update. After Mario 2 came out, or Mario Maker 2 came out in I think June or July or whenever it was, I feel like the game has had time to I want to say time to die, because not, I don't want to say Super Mario Maker 2 is dead by any means, but it definitely doesn't have the fervor and the passion that Mario Maker 1 had when that came out, right? Yeah. Like, when Mario Maker 1 came out, like, I remember Twitch streams and YouTube channels and content creators, like, doing stuff with it for a while, right? Like, you know, at least for a year, right? But right now, it seems like Mario Maker 2 hasn't had that same fervor. And I feel like a world map and the Mario Brothers 2 style and all the stuff that we've seen them add, like, up until now, could have helped that game a lot, like, yeah, in its first month.
So Mario Maker 2 is actually a fantastic academic lesson in terms of, like, in the difference between making content for games, making paid content for games, and making free content for games as a service. So sales numbers don't really tell the full story of this thing. Because if you just look at bare sales numbers, it is Mario Maker 1 sold 4 million, Mario Maker 2 sold 5 million. Mm-hmm. The difference is Mario Maker 2 sold 2.5 million of those 5 million out of the gate. Like, the first 2 days, it sold half its entire lifetime to date sales. It didn't get a big pickup from the Switch Lite introduction. It didn't get a big pickup from holidays, because Luigi's Mansion 3 and Pokemon kind of ate its lunch there. So if you're a Nintendo, and you're saying, like, hey, we're making all this content for this game that's not really selling that much since release, then it does kind of make sense from that perspective to go, all right, maybe we just cut it off now. Why they didn't do, like, a more consistent schedule is probably one of the things that made it not sell that much. I think probably, because you remember at E3 last year, they announced that they have a multiplayer version of that, multiplayer mode, but it's not friends. Like, you could only play randoms.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then they had to, like, do, like, a very quiet mea culpa and go, okay, no, let's, we're gonna patch
we're gonna fix stuff this. In. Yeah, we're gonna let you guys play with your friends.
I assume that is what delayed everything else for a while. And then once those stuff started getting delayed and they put out the link update and didn't result in a particular uptick in sales, that was when it was, like, the calculus of, okay, we probably need to start cutting this off soon. And once all this COVID stuff happens, and then that was probably the actual axe on the back of the neck of we need these developers to go do something else. Because, like, last year, Nintendo released, was it last year or was it this year? No, it was last year. New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe.
Was the beginning of last year. Yeah.
That game has sold 5 million as well. Granted, it came out earlier, but it also probably has much less in the way of work and resources done for it than there was for Mario Maker 2. It was like, they packaged a new Super Luigi in and they put in Toadette. Like, there wasn't a whole lot for that game. So the return on investment probably way better. And they're not constantly putting out new content for it. So if you're looking at those numbers, if you're somebody with both those numbers in front of you on a piece of paper, it doesn't make sense to keep doing Mario Maker 2 stuff.
Yeah. You look at that and you're like, you know, why are we putting in the effort?
Yeah.
I think this whole thing is kind of a tale of Nintendo still not having it down in terms of how to do a games as a service. Like, you look at all their attempts and they've had ranges of successes, right? Like Splatoon 2, I think generally is like a pretty good, like, it seems like that game has had a good tail to it, right? Like, it seems like that game came out and the post-launch updates that they provided for it seemed to do well. Like, I had not played Splatoon 2, but I've only heard good things. And I remember, like, watching directs and seeing, like, the direct where they announced Ultimate, like, I forget the name of the update, but it was the one where it's, like, there was, like, one of the squidlings, or, like,
the Octo
Squid expansion. Girls. Yeah, the Octo expansion, where she's, like, walking in the subway or whatever. Like, I remember watching that and being, like, that seems pretty cool. Like, good for them. Like, it seems like they're really supporting Splatoon 2. But then you look at other games, like, you look at ARMS, for example, and ARMS, it seems like they kind of put out just to die. Like, it
sold well. ARMS sold 2 million, and they, like, supported it with new characters for a little bit, and then they just stopped. And
yeah,
there's an ARMS character in Smash Brothers coming soon. So clearly they care about that game. But, like, I think it's an obvious thing at this point, but when they're selling something for like expansions, like the Octo expansion or the Smash Bros. Season Pass, then it tends to do a lot better for them than when they were doing it for free. So like if a game has free updates, eventually they're going to cut that off pretty quickly. But, I mean, quickly is a relative term. Like, I remember,
but they're going to cut it off.
Yeah, they will cut it off eventually. Depending on how well the game keeps selling as an evergreen title. Mario Maker 2 did not really survive as an evergreen title. Like I said, it sold half its LTD in the first 2 days. Splatoon 2, they cut it off like the month they started charging for Switch Online, which is baffling to me, but sure. Like, I guess they didn't really see it as a big driver for that thing. Smash Brothers, they're in season 2, but they've gotten an extra $50 for those two seasons per person who's like really in Smash Brothers, so it's working out well for them. It's going to be, if they ever do another Mario Maker, I think people are going to be kind of cautious at first about it, and they're going to have to come out from the beginning. Honestly, I think like that's part of why when they came out today with the Animal Crossing stuff, which we'll get to in a little bit, but they gave like a calendar of what the next like 12 weeks look like. Mm-hmm. And that's what they should have done with Mario Maker from the beginning of, okay, yeah, so here is this thing. We're going to do multiplayer at this part, and then I'm going to have Link, and then here's some other stuff that's coming soon. They should just dole that stuff out over the months. The fact that they didn't means, to me, that they're just shoving stuff out the door right now. Just be done with it.
Yeah, just to get it over with.
Yeah.
The five-star man writes into patreon.com, so it's kind of funny games. It says, hey, Blessing and Imran. Last night we got the trailer for the new update for Mario Maker 2. While the content they're adding looks great, I was most surprised to see them announce this is the final major update for the game. Imran, you tweeted you thought there might have been more Super Mario Bros. 2 content planned, but due to Corona, it wouldn't get finished. Do you think there was even more content besides Super Mario Bros. 2 that was planned? Or was the original plan always to have these three major updates? Thanks for everything, the five-star man.
I had heard before. I think late last year that they were working on a Super Mario Brothers 2 theme, like an actual straight up just extra game style. It seems to me this kind of bears that out, that they were working on it because they have basically everything but the tile set. They have like an entirely new mechanic in the form of that Super Mario Brothers 2 mushroom. I don't think necessarily it was because Corona. I think it was because the game just didn't sell as well as they expected, or didn't sell as often as they expected, to be a,
yeah,
put it differently. But I think COVID is what killed it, because once there's no point in putting those resources behind that game when they're in a situation where they need to have resources all men on other projects right now. And that is sad for Super Mario Maker 2, but I don't know of any other, I don't know specifically what other content they may have put in there. I think they probably did intend to start like shadow dropping the stuff bit by bit. I think the Link sprite being a one-off is really strange. I bet, and this is just speculation, I bet that they would have done that with other characters if that game was a more evergreen title. It's not though, so yeah. Like I miss the sprites from Mario Maker 1 as well. I wish they would have done that again. But I guess that is also probably licensing hell in a different way.
Well, like the sprites from Mario Maker 1, were those all like amiibo based stuff?
Some were. A lot were like events. Like there were like 1 week they were like, hey, here's Arino from Game Center CX, which is cool. Here's the main character of Nisekoi, which is like a romance manga that was running in Japan at the time. Like it was a weird sort of Nintendo that I wish was more present in Mario Maker 2. And I think I said at the time, like, Mario Maker 2, it feels like Mario Maker, but now that Nintendo's aware of how popular it is, the people who are in charge of making sure Mario's not too weird were looking at that game more closely. And at the end of the day, it kind of feels like that, like, in how they handle the periphery of it. And, like, at the end of the day, there's aspects of Mario Maker 1, like the bookmark site, that are just not in Mario Maker 2, which is extremely strange. How could they just not have repurposed that from the first game for this one?
Who knows? I think this is pretty obvious that this is not their plan for Mario Maker 2. Like, especially when you look at, like, when you boot, I remember when the game was first announced, or we got one of the first trailers for it, where they showed off the Mario 3D World style, and I think there was like a section that said like extra game styles, and that's where they put Mario 3D World, and people use that to say that like, oh yeah, they're obviously going to add more game styles because they have a whole section for extra game styles. And so, you know, let's just wait and see. They're probably going to add Super Mario
Bros. 2. There was like one extra blank space underneath, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, there was like, it had 3D World, and then it just had space, right? That you would imagine you would fill up with other game styles. And even like the idea that they're using plural also to describe it. But like, it seems like, yeah, the plans got cut short. And it's unfortunate because like Mario Maker 1 was pretty much stranded on the Wii U, right? Like a lot of people played it, like pretty much like Mario Maker 1 was a sensation on the Wii U, but because a lot of people just didn't own the Wii U because the Wii U was not a great console, like that game was pretty much stranded. And for Mario Maker 2 to come out and to have like all the necessary elements for Mario Maker 1 but to still not have the splash, I think points to kind of a mishandling of it, or maybe even just like a miscalculation in terms of how it was going to do post launch, which is unfortunate.
You look at Smash Brothers and it's the best selling fighting game of all time, and the DLC is doing remarkably well. I don't know how this season's doing so far in terms of sales, but like the first season did huge numbers for them. You look at Animal Crossing, which has broken records. You look at Mario Odyssey, which is one of the best, I think it's now currently the best selling 3D Mario ever. Like,
that makes sense.
You look at all that and you look at the difference between like Wii U sales and Switch sales and the exponential difference between them. 4 million to 5 million is not great. It is it's a very slow growth.
Exactly. Which is unfortunate. But that said, I'm very excited for this update. I plan to pick up Mario Maker again to mess with the world.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna make a whole ass game now. Like,
that you can make a whole Mario game is fucking insane, and it's amazing. It's just
it's great. It's a fantastic update.
It's a fantastic update, and I'm very excited for it. It's the right thing to do. But like, man, yeah. Story number four. Nintendo is investigating reports of accounts being breached. I'm pulling this from Tom Phillips at Eurogamer, who writes, Nintendo has told Eurogamer it is now actively investigating a wave of reports from Switch owners stating that their Nintendo accounts have been accessed. Yesterday, Eurogamer reported that a number of account owners had reported their Nintendo accounts accessed over the past their Nintendo accounts had been accessed over the past couple of weeks. A Eurogamer staff member was among those recently affected. Some account users reported their accounts had been used to buy digital items, such as bundles of Fortnite V-Bucks worth up to £100, via linked PayPal accounts. Speaking to some of those affected last night, some of whom only realized their account had been accessed after reading our story, I heard a mixed pattern of people using unique passwords and those who had been using the same password elsewhere. It begged the question, had Nintendo become the latest target of a simple credential stuffing scheme, using details gleaned from other hacked sources, or had Nintendo account holders' details somehow been accessed with Nintendo's system itself? Today, Nintendo responded to those reports and highlighted what you should do if you're affected. Quote, we are aware of reports of unauthorized access to some Nintendo accounts, and we are investigating the situation, a Nintendo spokesperson told Eurogamer today in response. Quote, in the meantime, we recommend that users enable two-step verification for their Nintendo account. If any users become aware of unauthorized activity, we encourage them to take steps outlined on our website. End quote. That's unfortunate, but now you know. Check to make sure if your Switch account is fine.
I saw some people online saying that like it was actually that people were associating their account with like one of those Nookazon style websites. I'm not sure. Like maybe that's outdated. Maybe there's actually like it was a Nintendo breach. But the general advice: use 2FA on anything you can. Use 2FA with stuff that's not even text messages. Like they actually, you have to get a code some other way because it's a very easy to break into people's accounts, and 2FA is the only thing really stopping people. If they know one password, they probably know most of yours.
Yeah, that's the thing that sucks is when you use the same password for a lot of your accounts. That then gets it's easier to kind of fuck things up in that way. And so, turn on that two-factor. Thank you. I can think of the word. Story number five. There's a buttload of new Animal Crossing content coming. This is from a Nintendo press release. A series of free updates to the Animal Crossing New Horizons game is bringing some special seasonal events, inviting island goers to experience new faces visiting the island, blossoming flora, beautiful works of art, and an expanded museum. These free updates and others later in the year will add new experiences to the game that players will be able to enjoy for a long time. Available on April 23rd, this new update adds the following characters, features, and limited time events to the game. There's Leaf's Garden Shop. Nature-loving Leaf will regularly visit players' islands to sell his flourishing assortment of foliage, including shrubs and flower seeds. These decorative items will help make any island paradise a little greener. Then there's Jolly Red's Treasure Trawler. After downloading the free update, Jolly Red will occasionally show up in his boat to sell in-game art as well as furniture with unique colors. Like in previous Animal Crossing games, players will have to figure out which art pieces are real and which are fake. After purchasing genuine art, players can donate it to the island museum to open an art gallery, which will display all types of donated pieces from paintings to sculptures. Then there's Nature Day, which is happening April 23rd to May 4th. During Nature Day period, special Nook Miles challenges will be available that focus on nature-inspired goals, such as planting trees and watering flowers. And there's May Day Tour happening May 1st, 7th. In the first week of May, players can use a one-time May Day ticket at the island airport to head out on a limited-time tour to an island that looks different than the usual mystery island tours. A special visitor who looks familiar might also be there. And then there's International Museum Day, which is happening May 18th through 31st. And then there's Wedding Season, which is June 1st through June 30th. Imran, you're still playing Animal Crossing, right?
I am. It's now out of the growth phase, and now it's just like check in, do my stuff, like chop wood, break rocks, that kind of thing, and just kind of beautify my town as much as I want. I'm really obsessed with waterfalls right now, so I'm just like doing a bunch of waterscaping. But yeah, I play a little bit every day.
Do these updates excite you? Because for me, I've fallen off of Animal Crossing mainly because I went hard with Final Fantasy VII Remake and I just couldn't get back to it. But I know that Egg Day or Egg Week or Egg Month or whatever it was called didn't necessarily vibe well with a lot of people. Do these updates excite you coming off of that?
These are way more interesting. Yeah, like a lot of that stuff was stuff that was in previous Animal Crossing games that they just didn't have at launch for this one. So I assume it just they didn't make it for launch. So now it's they can insert it afterwards, which is great. And Jolly Red is a good change. He used to be Crazy Red. So I think they realized, yeah, we probably shouldn't use that word as much as we. Yeah. So it's good that they finally changed that. But this stuff looks cool. Rebecca Valentine told me she had a theory that Egg Day was not supposed to be the first holiday. Like, this game was probably supposed to come out last November or other time. And
because it was originally announced for last fall.
Yeah, it was announced for 2019. So, like.
Yeah, and then it got pushed back to spring.
Her theory is that Egg Day is a parody holiday, that it's meant to drive you crazy, that it's like this weird thing of like, oh God, why do we have to deal with this like dumb rabbit and all these eggs everywhere? But as this thing that happens in the second week of everyone owning Animal Crossing, it's in like an absolutely terrible thing. So,
oh yeah, that makes sense.
So like, this to me feels like Nintendo going like, okay, we know Egg Day sucks, so let's make up for it. Here's what's coming up in the near future.
Yeah, coming off of the Super Mario Maker 2 conversation too, like this is a good, like this is Nintendo doing a games as a service like well, right? This is them doing post launch content well by informing you, by like letting you know what's coming up, and by being consistent in terms of how you update your game and do events. And so this all sounds cool to me.
I did notice that in the video, the date for when they were redeeming the Nook Miles was 4/20. So they made this update a while ago, or not update. They made this video yesterday. So were they planning to launch it on that date, or like, is it just that hot out of the oven?
It's a good question. That's an interesting question. Story number 6. Death Stranding PC is delayed. I'm pulling this from Kojima Productions' Twitter. They tweeted, following the temporary closure of Kojima Productions, we've had to delay the PC launch of Death Stranding to July 14th, 2020 to allow more development time amidst the current work-from-home orders in place. Thank you all for all your patience and continued support. This makes sense. And like this is like one in like a handful of games that have been getting delayed. And so there you go. Death Stranding PC. Now, July 14th. I want to say it was like June.
Okay,
so I don't even know the exact date. So it's not like a crazy delay.
Yeah, it's a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Imran, I'm very excited to see if more games get delayed or not. I don't know, man. This is always a hard segue to do. But but that news of games getting delayed is so far away. If I want to know what comes out to mom and pop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Do 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 do, yeah. Kevin.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin. Did you forget or were you like on the other side of the room?
Well, I was having a conversation with something about someone.
Oh, okay.
Oh. The other guy, right? You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Out today. Help will come tomorrow for PS4, Switch, and PC. Dragon Marked for Death for PC. Obey Me for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Gato Roboto for Xbox One, which I highly recommend. That game's pretty fun.
That is a very cute and like short Metroidvania.
Yes. Hexplore for PC. Minimalist Space War for PC. The Flower Collectors for PC. No One Lives Under the Lighthouse for PC. Bring You Home for PC. The Shattering for PC, and then Disobedient Sheep for PC and Mac. We got some new dates for you. Golf With Your Friends will be launching on Nintendo Switch, PS4, and Xbox One on May 4th. Golf With Your Friends will also leave Steam Early Access the same day. That's May 4th. Relic Hunters Zero Remix will launch on May 7th, 2020 for the Nintendo Switch. And then Telling Lies, an investigative thriller game about exploring private conversations, will be coming to PS4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch on April 28th. This is one of Greg's top 10 games of 2019, so he is very excited. Of course, Telling Lies is the successor to Her Story, which I played and enjoyed. And so I'm really excited for it to come to PS4 so I can finally play it.
Oh, that reminds me. I'm releasing Barrett from that Doom Animal Crossing bet. He does not have to get any pizza. Yeah, it was at the end of Extra Life. Everyone was very tired. He made an insane prediction. It's fine. We don't need to do that.
Don't I release will gladly Barrett. Accept the pizza in his stead.
Yeah, me and Kevin will accept the pizza. Right, Kevin? Me and you.
Right, bless. Me and you.
Me and you.
Me and you. Me yes. and you.
Yeah, me and you, Kevin. I'm typing a message to Imran right now. just send it directly to me.
I mean, if somebody's getting pizza, I'm getting the pizza. But I'm just saying, he doesn't have to get
pizza. Okay, all right. The three of us can split it. Not a big deal.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know why in my mind Imran was sending the pizza. Barrett is the one who's sending me the pizzas.
Buy us three pizzas, is what I'm saying.
I know Barrett listens to the show every day because it's his job to you. Barrett, if you're listening,
Barrett, pepperoni. Buy one pizza, send it to me. I'll eat some of it, send it to Blessing, and then I'm sure he'll get it to Imran.
Can I get it first? No. Like,
I like the idea of the pizza guy coming to the door, you taking the three pizzas you're going to take.
Yeah,
I
just put it on.
And me just giving him a slip of paper and being like, go here. Thank you.
That's amazing. We have a deal of the day for you. Mr. Miss George writes in and says Celeste and Towerfall are $4.99 on the eShop currently. That's $4.99. So go play Celeste because that is an excellent game. Also Towerfall, yes. But Celeste. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Now it's time for Reader Mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Brook Linen. Bringing comfort into your home is the ultimate form of self-care, and now more than ever, it's important to take care of yourself and each other. You spend one third of your life in sheets. Don't you want them to be insanely comfortable? So put comfort first, like with the new bedding, loungewear, towels, and more. Home of the internet's favorite sheets, Brook Linen's got over 50,000 plus five-star reviews and counting. And starting April 25th, Brook Linen is having their biggest sale yet, the birthday sale. Get everything from bedding to towels to loungewear and more at savings you wouldn't believe. Brook Linen products help you find comfort in the little things, morning routines, extra soft sheets, plush towels, etc. Folks here at Kind of Funny use Brook Linen sheets and can confirm they're insanely comfortable. Like softness, comfort, essentials to help you relax, Brook Linen has it all. Brooklinen.com is the perfect place to find all the comforts for your home, and they're so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, loungewear, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The birthday sale kicks off April 25th, and you don't want to miss it. Get their biggest savings of the year on sheets, bedding, towels, loungewear, and their newest hammam and linen collections. And if you can't wait, you can get 10% off your first order and free shipping on the all-new sheet right now when you use promo code GAMES only at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. We're also brought to you by ExpressVPN. We all know how ExpressVPN protects your privacy and security online, but here's something you might not know. You can also use ExpressVPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries. Now that so many of us are stuck at home, it's only a matter of time until you run out of stuff to watch on Netflix. And I can attest to that. I've been watching Ozark, and I just finished Ozark season 2. And what a great season of TV that was, especially toward the later part of the season. It's so good. And I just started season 3 on 2 episodes in, Kevin. But eventually, Kevin, Ozark ends. It ends.
What will you watch then? Maybe some Doctor Who in the UK Netflix?
Exactly. Exactly. What if I spent this whole week binging Doctor Who on the UK Netflix? Well, it's simple to do so. Just fire up ExpressVPN app, change your location to the UK, refresh Netflix, and that's it. ExpressVPN hides your IP address and lets you control where you want sites to think you're located. You can choose from almost 100 different countries, so just think about all the Netflix libraries you can have access to. Love anime? Use ExpressVPN to access Japanese Netflix and be spirited away. But it's not just Netflix. ExpressVPN works with any streaming service, Hulu, BBC, iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. There are hundreds of VPNs out there, but the reason we suggest ExpressVPN to watch shows is it's ridiculously fast. There's never any buffering or lag, and you can stream in HD, no problem. ExpressVPN is also compatible with all your devices, phones, media consoles, smart TVs, and more, so you can watch what you want on a personal device or on the big screen wherever you are. If you visit this special link right now, expressvpn.com/games, you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Support the show, watch what you want, and protect yourself with ExpressVPN at expressvpn.com/games.
Speaking of anime, High Score Girl season 2 is on Netflix.
Wait, what season 2?
High Score Girl.
What's that?
It's an anime about a girl who's very good at video games. It was actually so the manga is pretty interesting because Square Enix published it in their weekly Gangan magazine. They use unauthorized art from SNK and Mortal Kombat, stuff like that. SNK got so pissed about this, they called the police. to, I get like, go through Square Enix's offices and take a bunch of documents, essentially.
That's
it's a complicated story that's more complicated than I'm making it. But yeah, mm-hmm. it's a pretty funny thing.
That's awesome. I've been looking at this show called Beastars that's on the front page of my Netflix. And I've been debating whether or not I want to watch it because I have a friend who tells me to watch it because she likes it. But I'm like, she won't tell me what it's about because she wants me to go in blind. Mm-hmm. And so I'll let you guys know.
Did you finish Avatar yet?
No, I'm on episode 7.
Come on, bless it.
I'm going to keep watching it. This is one of those things where
you're Ozark... only on episode 7?
I'm watching Ozark also. And
no,
Ozark
I understand.
Is so good.
But like, here, hear me out. Avatar is so good. Like, yes, I
know everybody tells me.
Maybe like 3 months ago. It's phenomenal. You're an idiot.
I'm gonna keep watching. I'm just hooked on Ozark. There's something about it. It's like the whole show.
It's very good. It's a very different kind of show. It's drama. It's very intense.
I know, and it's hard to watch anything else because I'm so into it. But I plan to get back to watching.
Well, finish
Avatar
Ozark. It's not that hard. You got it. I believe it.
Finish
you, right?
Ozark, and then finish the first season at least of The Last Airbender.
Definitely.
There are so many. There are only so many hours in the day, and Ozark episodes are
hour
long.
Yeah, use the ones.
And I
want to
also play games. But like,
you
I gotta
what
sleep.
I'm saying, like,
yeah, just stop
when
sleeping.
When I don't sleep, I wake up and I'm tired. And I get on this show and I'm all tired and I'm just like, oh,
it doesn't affect
game.
The quality,
you know what I mean, Kevin.
You know what Andy Cortez life? And just stop sleeping.
But Andy Cortez doesn't have to be on a show until like 11:30. You know, I gotta be on a show. I gotta be up and like prepping the dock by 8:30. You know, I got a real job to do. All these other folks that aren't on KFGD, they're just out there living their best lives, watching TV until 2 a.m. in the morning. I'm looking at you, Andy Cortez. Fight me. Fight me, Andy.
I woke
Malcontent
up at
6:30
in the morning and painted.
You painted?
Yeah.
I really want to ask this question that's on the dock, but I want to know more about your painting. Kevin, elaborate.
What do you
just
mean?
Painted?
Well, like, I mean, not like a painting. Like
I assume he means like...
Oh, your house.
Like
yeah.
Oh,
the baseboard.
Okay. In my head,
some crown molding. You thought I like went out to the backyard, sat down on with my easel.
No, in my head, you
cigarette
had a fucking,
in hand.
Like, canvas, and you had like one like a small paintbrush and like one of the like the palettes that have like a little bit of each color.
Yeah.
Claire de Lune is playing behind you.
Yeah, you just have like you have Nick posing for you like naked, and you're just like painting
focusing
in the backyard
and trying to hit my best Bob Ross.
Oh my god, I would love Kevin to do like a Bob Ross video.
Okay.
It's like Kevin, parody, Kevin's like Kevin's like the literal opposite of Bob Ross.
What?
This is absolutely quarantine content that we need. We need a show of you painting.
Just me standing there being like, all right, I've never painted before, but like we're gonna do bang out some fucking trees right here.
I would 100%. I would for sure pay money. Let's make it happen.
Yes.
Malcontent Ronan writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. She's like, you can. It says, hey guys, I'm wondering what you might know about hardware timelines. With the credible rumors of Sony showing their new controller because it would otherwise have been leaked, are we not at the point where surely there must be a PS5 prototype that similarly could leak? Could they really not have the final design yet? Or is this great evidence we will finally see that big reveal event next month? You know, because we know... anything and everything about the PS5 right now besides what it looks like. I'm tired of living in 2013. Thanks, Malcontent Ronan.
They have dev kits, so I don't think developers care. Like,
But the dev kits don't look like the final PS5, though.
Yeah, no, but they don't care what the final design looks like. They have the box they need. And
yeah, exactly.
That's probably where it would leak from, because if you work for Sony and you leak that final design, you'd probably get fired, which is not
getting
fired right now.
Exactly. Like, I think the thing is, you want devs to have the controller, you know, so that they can work with the controller and like be able to use the features of the controller and all that stuff. But yeah, you don't necessarily have to send devs the final box in order for them to work on their games, right? Like, you just send out dev kits, and so that's the reason why you're a bit more cautious about the controller at this point of the timeline than you are about the box leaking, because in theory, only people that are at Sony know what the box looks like. And so, yeah, this, I don't think it's not really an abnormal thing at all in terms of why they would reveal the controller this early in the game versus the actual box.
Yeah. And also, it's a weird year for a console launch, and everybody knows it and everyone's still struggling to deal with it. I talked with somebody behind one of the consoles and on like Facebook chat, and they were asking me like, what do you think if we did like press like hands-on this way or this way? And, like, those sound like ideas, but they also sound like huge headaches. So everyone's still figuring all this stuff out in terms of marketing reveals and all that stuff.
Let's get into some required reading. Imran, you're the one that brought this one to the table. It's an article from gamesindustry.biz called Here's Some Pets to Make Your Day Better. It's by Brendan Sinclair. Kevin, I want you to put this article up just for, like, we're not going to scroll through the whole thing because we want people to get...
Can I get, like, a please or...
please, Kevin, can you,
Yeah, no, I can get it out. I can get it out. What was that? What are you laughing at?
Well, no, I just said I love you.
I love you, too.
You're great. You're great at what you do, Kevin. Not enough people tell you that. And then he just disappears. He doesn't bring up the article.
That would be great if we were all just sitting here waiting for Kevin to do it. He's just like, no, I'm gone.
He's like, he walks out.
Is this the article? No one included a link, so I had to find it.
It was in Slack?
Yeah, it was in Slack. If you scroll down, are there pictures that start showing up? I can't, like, on my screen, it is very tiny, so I can't read any of the text.
Yes, that is that.
Yes. So, yeah, Brendan Sinclair here put together an article of pets. You know, there's a white puppers right there. But something to make us all feel better, you know?
Yeah. Also, everyone's very good at taking photos of their pets.
Yeah, it's crazy how I see more good pictures of pets than I do of human beings at this point.
All pets are photogenic.
No offense to your selfies, y'all. But yeah, go to gamesindustry.biz, give them a click, check out that article if you want to feel better. Thanks to Brendan Sinclair and the team over there for putting in the work that matters. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, where of course you guys write in.
You can also go to kindoffunnydog on Instagram to see my little puppo. Look at him.
Wait, did you really get kindoffunnydog?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Was that like a kindoffunnycat for Thomas?
That's great.
Yeah.
Wait, how does Portillo not have Kind of Funny Dog?
He sucks. You know what I mean? I mean, he's not the dog that's going to represent this company.
Jen and Greg would never give up that Instagram, like, content they need.
I don't know.
They need that on their
accounts. Yeah, that's a good point. They need that on their accounts.
Makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Ignacio Rojas writes in and says, Microsoft was definitely the one that said their games... Oh, okay, no, that's from PS Love You.
Jeff Grubb clarifies game cards mean like gift card guys, like you go to CVS and get a gift card for the eShop or whatever. So yeah, it was what I originally thought, I guess.
Oh, see, I wouldn't have thought that, but do they count those differently outside of software sales then?
Those, I guess, point cards, yes, because they would be with accessory.
Oh, point cards. Gotcha. Okay, sorry, I was thinking like that. Okay, that makes more sense. That definitely makes sense.
Yeah, so not the ones that say, like, this is the code for the card, or for the game, but the ones that are, like,
the ones that is, like, here's $50 for PSN, basically. Right. Gotcha. That makes sense. Nanobiologist writes in and says, Bless, you weren't sure when Mario Maker 2 came out. It came out June 28th, 2019.
Yeah. Right after E3.
Da-da. Let's see here. Kebabs writes in and says, Final Fantasy VII has sold 11 million units over many different platforms, including PS1, PS4, iOS, Switch, and more, which I think I said.
You know, like, for being one of the biggest games of all time, that's not a huge number.
For sure. Like, I would have thought, like, I don't know, man. I think compared to the conversation that's had about Final Fantasy VII, I would have expected that game to have sold, like, 30 million, 40 million, something like that.
And there are games that have done that. Like, not like even some primarily single player games. So it's, again, that's silly. It's not to diminish that game. It does great, but yeah, that's not huge. Mario Odyssey sold 16.59 million units, apparently. Just to have the comparison there.
Yeah, to have some context. Yeah, this is a conversation me and Greg have been having a lot on the show in terms of where do we think Animal Crossing is going to net out in like the sales conversation for Switch games, because I believe it's I think number one, I've already forgotten what it was. So Mario number Switch one game? Is Mario Kart. Yeah, in terms of Switch sales, it's Kart and then Ultimate, I think.
I think Breath of the Wild is second, then Ultimate.
Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey are like 3 and 4, I think.
Yeah, Ultimate should be around 13, 14 right now. I haven't checked the exact numbers. We'll probably find out actually next week, because they should have an investor meeting. But yeah, they all are up in the upper teens right now.
Yes. Oh yeah, for sure.
I think Animal Crossing could go to 30 if it's right.
So Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is at 23 million at number one. Number two is Super Smash Bros. Ultimate at 17.6 million. And then it's okay. Mario Odyssey at 16.59. And then it's Breath of the Wild at 16.34.
Okay. That was
And Pokemon Sword at 16 million. But also these numbers are from the end of December. And so once we get the updated numbers, I'm curious to see where things net out. But yeah, at this point, Animal Crossing is... Yeah, going to be up there.
The question isn't like if it will be stopped. The question is like how far will it go before that point?
Yeah, exactly.
It's probably very, very high.
It looks like that is it for kindoffunny.com/. You're wrong. Tomorrow's hosts are Greg and Gary. That's right. You get a Widow Wednesday tomorrow. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.